And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We certainly have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. We'll go through the introduction, then we'll come back and talk about what happened with John and with Nola and the family and all the different things that are going on. So we'll try and stay connected to the Spirit, but let's run through the race as it's set before us right now. First of all, you may be in for a treat. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means I'm going to review a sermon that I preached over 30 years ago, only it's part two, and it's as pertinent today as it was then, and maybe even more so. But before we get into this unique teaching, I am giving you soft encouragement and warning. This does not, this should not, and will not be any form of legalism in your life. No, 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 no. This is a message that is to challenge you. The purpose is to take the information and draw one step closer to the Lord. Now, we have covered the sin of prayerlessness. Now we're going to cover the cause of prayerlessness. So last time we talked about the sin, this time we're talking about the cause. So I want to talk to you about what causes the sin of prayerlessness. We're going to discover that prayerlessness is not just a weakness, but an actual sin like we did before. And we'll discover that the causes of prayerlessness involve warfare. Could this be one of the great hidden struggles that's not dealt with? Remember, our enemy, the devil, the world, and the flesh. Those are our enemies. Finally, we'll define the struggle. We'll look at its various aspects and processes, and we will understand that this message is not to disregard in any fashion the holy word that God has given to us. The purpose of this message is to fire up our engine so we spend more time with the Lord. Once again, I do not want anybody to interpret this as some kind of lack of importance, referring to the Word of God and our time necessary in the Word of God, but I'm going to cover the second side, the flip side of the coin that we have in this relationship with the Lord. And I'm going to emphasize it because it is emphasized by God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. So much more. Really, I think you guys know that. We're just asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Oh, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! Talking to Dynamite D is like a cool wind that breaks through on a hot day.
Feels good.
Yeah. We need one of those. Just saying, really. No, we need that, really, for real. If you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, we want you to be able to share it. If you've got something you're trying to work out in your mind, your heart, we want you to be able to share that. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. We'll share it with you. We'll carry it with you, because that's what the command is, to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what the Lord has given us. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves, okay? You do love yourself, so love other people like you love yourself. and then take it up a notch and love people the way Jesus did. That's a whole nother level up, right? So what we're trying to do is encourage you. You got something to share? You got something to pray about? Let's pray about it. You got something to, you know, praise about? Let's praise about it, okay? So we just had one of our wonderful callers, John, call in and give us an update on NOLA. It was heart-wrenching. Not that we're... I'm glad that he felt comfortable enough to share it. I mean, I'm super blessed that he did, and I'm super glad that he did, because it also puts the burden on all of us to be praying and petitioning. But John needs prayer. NOLA needs prayer. Her parents need prayer. And so we prayed for him, and it's amazing because when the fill came on right after that segment was over, it was about Stan talking about the Lord can do anything, and he was just, you know, like super jazzed, and you got to tell the saints to keep praying. And I mean, you couldn't possibly in a trillion years plan that. They just couldn't do it. How are you going to plan that? Perfect timing for that fill to come. It was totally of the Lord. Okay. Does that mean that something's going to change for NOLA? I don't know. But what it does mean is that we need to be praying. We need to pray. And when you've got that extra minute, you know what? For a little bit, until we hear again from John, for a little bit, just a little bit less selfish. This, when you get that free moment, nothing going on, pray for NOLA. Pray that God will do a miracle. And we want that for them. We want that because we can all feel the heaviness that happened with John. It's there, and he's like one of us, and he's part of our family, and we have a couple of fills with him on it, and so on and so on. It's just like, this is us. This is the faith. But we do not stop when we reach something that we don't understand. We exercise even more faith. We exercise even greater moments of turning to God and saying, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. We exercised that. When I walked into the hospital room and my dad had passed when I was 20 years old by a month, and I'm in there, I remember looking at my brother and looking at our dad, and I looked at him and I said, this is exactly where our faith is. We believe it is not over. Right? Hard, brutal, all that, all the emotions up and up, but still, you don't stop. You keep moving forward. And no, I don't understand. I would prefer that, well, first of all, I'd prefer that God would just, you know how the rapture is supposed to happen, right? I would prefer that God would just rapture out all the people that are a pain. Just move them on to another planet. Just give everybody a break. That'd be my preference. Now, that's not very compassionate. You're just asking. I'm just saying that's my preference. So the idea behind this is to understand our faith does not die in moments like this. Our faith is forged in moments like this. That's a big part of the testing of our faith. You'd be praying for John, praying for NOLA, praying for the parents. They're the ones that are kind of stuck in the middle. They want to be able to insert themselves immediately and bring her absolute relief. We want to pray for NOLA that she's completely free from pain. We want to pray for John and his wife that they're on the outside even further looking in, and that the parents do not have bitterness that builds up, but instead even to some degree they get even closer to the Lord. You want to pray that. Because if all things work together for good and God's word is true, this is a part of all things. You cannot escape that, okay? By the way, I do want to give the answer to a trivia question because we're going to go into the teaching. How old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? And the answer is 40.
And Brother John said that too, off air.
So yeah, did he really? Right. Okay, yep. So he did a good job, John. So he was 40 years old. So everybody's like, well, you got to get married before you're 30. Don't tell that to him. No, you don't. You don't have to get married for a third. All right, now we'll do trivia in the next little bit. I know it's crazy, but I gotta start some of this because there's just so much lights out material. So I'll just do a little bit and then we'll take our break. So I've talked to you in the past about the sin of prayerlessness. It's not just something, you know, that's there. It's a sin. Okay? And for those that want to know, just so you can make sure, this message was actually preached. I got the date right in front of me for this particular message. It was actually preached 32 years and 3 days ago. That's the last time I taught this. That's a long time, right? That's like D's life, right? I mean, that's a long time, right? So here's what I want you to know. Jesus in being fully human and fully divine, Jesus was much more like us than we think. We think that he, wherever he walked around, there was some kind of fluorescent light behind him. And wherever he stepped, there was this, you know, the angels went, ah, as he was walking in his human capacity. And that is not correct. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Not even sympathize. Actually, the Greek word is empathize. That means that he shares it because he knows it. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." While we have the three temptations that are listed in Matthew and in Luke, what we don't have is the fullness of all temptations. We don't know if there was more going on or within those three encompasses everything that we need to understand. Cool, whatever direction you want to go. That's not the point. The point is Jesus in every capacity was connected to the same struggles that we have had and that we have in our lives. The difference is he set us a very specific example. I'm just going to set this up and then we'll take our break. He made it very clear, his example on how to deal with it. Keep in mind, there was no New Testament at the time. Good to know, right? Mark 1:35, "Very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." That is the example he said. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. "One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Jesus was in constant touch with the Father. He set that example for you and I to follow, so that we can understand how to defeat the things that come against us. And one of those things that comes against us is prayerlessness. And I'm going to be very specific when we get back on what that biggest part struggle is. So it is warfare, but might not be the warfare you think. We'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience, right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, and then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity Show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, "I didn't know it all." This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We are going to start offering up our next trivia question. Let's see if you guys can get this. This is going to be kind of interesting. Okay. All right. Oh, actually, this should be pretty easy. When Abraham died, so we just talked about Isaac, and he married Rebecca, and he was 40 years old. So follow the sequence, okay? When Abraham died, and one of his other sons buried him with Isaac, who was the other son? So Isaac helped bury Abraham, Genesis 25. Who was the other son that helped bury him? Okay, so listen to what I'm saying.
I'm not going
to
say it again.
I'll do it again. When Abraham died, Isaac and one of Abraham's other sons. Not one of Isaac's other sons. When Abraham died, Isaac and another Abraham's son. There you go. Okay, there it is. I'll do the best I can. So Abraham dies, Isaac and what brother buries him? That's it. If you think you know the answer, I could get there. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Do we have somebody that is on the phone? We have somebody that's on the phone, so we will send them in and give them an opportunity. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Roslyn.
Hi, Roslyn. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Tough opening to the show because of John and Nola and that situation, but we're moving forward. We're forging our faith strong and believing the grace of God prevails in all things.
That's right, and we're praying for Nola, too. And I actually wanted to share something I had read just this morning and also asked for some prayers. But this morning I was reading in Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 20, where Daniel was praying for Jerusalem, and the angel Gabriel came down to explain the vision. And in verse 23, Gabriel says to Daniel, "The moment you began praying, a command was given." And that really struck me this morning because I thought, well, so as soon as we start praying, we don't always see God working, but does that mean God's taking action? I mean, he doesn't need us to pray because he's always working anyway, independent of what we do. But it's kind of that idea of when we talked about Matthew and where Jesus didn't squander his gifts and his blessings on people because they lacked the faith. But if you lack the faith and you pray, immediately God starts to work.
That's right.
Is that the right interpretation?
Yeah, no, that's correct. See, there's always a response in some capacity. You and I don't see that. If God pulled back the veil and we saw all the angels and demons at one time, I think most people would just fall over and die. I just don't think they can handle it. But there's so much more warfare and so many more things going on. in that, you know, in that story, the Lord responds to prayers, and the fact of the matter is that some prayers get a no and some prayers get a yes, depending on what the Lord's ultimate and perfect will is. But there's always something taking place. God never is like, what? What are you talking about? He's always aware of each nuance, each moment. And but there is action always taken upon a prayer. No question about it.
So that way, if we all pray, maybe God will, we can persuade him to help Noah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want to do. That's why we want to pray. And how are you feeling? How are you doing physically?
Pretty good. I was grateful this morning to just wake up.
Amen. You know,
and so I'm just grateful to be here, particularly because the reason I was calling for prayer was a friend of mine. Her name is Jamie. Her husband died about 3 days before Christmas this last December. And then she called me yesterday and said that her special needs son, who's a teenager, he died yesterday. And his name is Tori. And so she's going through a lot. And then Robert came home and told me about a family that he works with. They were really excited to bring home a new baby, and the baby died during childbirth.
This is what drives me nuts about it is this is all the result of sin, all of it. And it's so frustrating that mankind rebelled against God. I mean, it's just like these were the things that God wanted us to live in and enjoy and participate in and fellowship with him in. And then when sin entered, it just brought death, it brought disease, it brought destruction, and gave place to Satan. And just like, this is why a person's salvation, this is why faith in Christ is so critical. Because when this is all done, then when the Lord redeems all the people and we go back for a second round, there's going to be no death, no sin, no sorrow, no frustration, no disappointment. It's just like now, there's just like, in a world of sin, there's a lot of disappointment. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. Can we pray for? Let's pray for Jamie and just and the situation.
The Gutierrez family.
Yeah. What's their name?
The Gutierrez family.
Gutierrez. Hold on. Okay.
Gutierrez. Gutierrez.
All right. Let's pray. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we'll pray the entire hour. We don't care. We want you. We want to see your hand. We want to see your fingerprints on these situations. And Lord, we just hate death. We hate disease. We hate sickness. We hate it all, Lord, because it's not who you are. It's not what you wanted for all of us. It's where we put ourselves. So we lift up Jamie, whose husband passed away in Christmas, and Troy, who just passed away, and her heart's probably just totally in shreds. And Jesus, you, when this kind of level of pain was around you, you wept. And you're up there right now. You know exactly what's going on. You see all these hearts and all these people weeping. And we just ask you to intercede for us, to intercede for Jamie, to intercede in her heart that's broken, where she feels like she's lost everything, that you would give her hope, that you would be the hope, you would be the seed of hope that she would find in you. And for the Gutierrez family, that they just lost their baby. Now, our comfort in knowing you is knowing the children, knowing the innocent, knowing that those who are not there and are not here are going to be with you. I mean, that's a great comfort, and we get that throughout your scripture. We don't fear about that, but that doesn't mean there's not pain, and we're just hurting, and we're hearing one thing after another. And we ask you, Lord God, to help Jamie, to help the Gutierrez family, to help John's family, to help everybody who's just really, really taking it on the chin, so to speak. And we ask you to give each of these people hope. Each of these family hope. Hope that they will see their loved ones again, or that their loved ones will get up and do better, and hope that we will prevail through and not be quenched or destroyed by the enemy. Only you can do this, Lord. We can't do this.
But you can do this. If we submit ourselves to you, you can do anything. And we lay it before you and ask you for a big, fat yes to help these families, to help these people, to comfort these people, bring healing, bring mercy, bring hope. We also pray for Rosin. You just give her, fill her full of wisdom, insight, and how to minister. And Robert as well, that he would know what to say, and how to be the best ambassador that he can be. And you would guide all of us to be the best ambassadors we can be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David.
Yep. We love you.
Love you too. Right. Okay, you have a good rest of your show.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so how's that? It's just that type of show, folks. It's just like, look, this is what you do. This is part of it. We keep talking about sharing with one another, bearing one another's burdens. This is what that is. And you think, well, you know, how can you just do the show? I can't. We're not just doing the regular show. I think that's fairly obvious anyway. But the idea behind this is to look at, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to say it even more firmly than I said it the first time. This is not the place where you say, well, I don't know about my faith. This is exactly the place where you say, my faith is stronger than ever before. I am not moving. I am committed to trusting God in the most unbelievable circumstances that I cannot understand and do not love in the context of I don't love the result of sin. I don't love that people die. I don't love that people are hurting. But I know that God is faithful and true, and whatever he allows, there's something way greater than we can see. It's way beyond our sight, our comprehension, our understanding. And in that we will entrust it into his hands. And I go right back to Job, where he says, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. That is where you stand. Okay.
You know, David, one thing I was thinking about as you were praying is the importance of godly community in these hardships. It is so important for us to have one another in these things. I don't think we realize how important and how vital that is.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. It's just, and you know, you feel it, right? Everybody can feel that. You listen to this on radio, you're feeling it, right? If you've got a heart, you're feeling it. And if you're not feeling it, just pray that the Lord would give you the heart to feel it. That would be a way to approach it. But we want the Lord to touch these people, help these people, save these people, heal these people, protect these people, watch over these people. And you know what we do? We take our faith and we take persistence and we do not quit. That's what we do. Okay? All right. Just to answer the trivia question, because some people did get it right. Abraham died. Isaac and Isaac's brother buried him. Who was that? That was Ishmael. Ishmael and Isaac, Genesis 25:9, just letting you know. We'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn, and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to move forward, because that's what you do. You move forward, right? Okay. Here's your trivia question. This is going to be kind of an interesting one. And then I've got the closer, so I want you to catch this now. This is really important, okay? So we already said, how old was Isaac when he married Rebecca? Okay, that answer, 40. Okay, here's the next question. How old was Isaac when Jacob and Esau were born? Ha 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 ha. So we already know Isaac, he married Rebecca, he's 40. How old was he when Jacob and Esau were born? Again, Genesis 25. That's our third trivia question in Genesis 25, just to let you know. Okay? All right. Genesis 25, somewhere in the 20s. That's a nice way to say it. Somewhere in the 20s is the verse, is what I'm trying to say, not his age. Somewhere in the 20s. Genesis 25, somewhere in the 20s. All right, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website again, as we're doing now, as part of our process. Number one, don't forget to be praying for all of us, especially in the audience, all the stuff that's going on, people that they need to be tapping into grace. They need to be tapping into grace. That's the best way to say it. They need to be touching grace, growing in grace, because that's a big part of moving forward. When you're all done with everything, all said and done, Keith Green wrote this song called Grace by Which I Stand. It's like, when it's all said and done, it's grace by which you stand. Okay? All right, that's number one. Number two, don't forget about donations, which we're not going to apologize for, but if you can't give, don't feel guilty. If you're able to give, participate, be a part of the stewardship of this ministry. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So God gets the credit no matter what. If you're able to give, great. We want you to take care of home base first. If there's leftover for us, we will be glad to be a primary if that's what God tells you. Okay, we're never going to tell somebody to do something different than what God tells them. But we do want you to take care of your home base. That's important as well. All right, so check it out. Go to the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Now that's how everybody ought to pray to the Lord.
That's pretty good.
You ought to use that loud, obnoxious Remember, Jesus loves to be annoyed. Remember, it's the persistent judge he taught about in Luke. So you need the Lord to comfort those that need to be comforted, to heal those that need to be healed, to touch those that need to be touched, to bless those who need to be blessed.
How timely.
I mean, that is just absolutely right on target. Okay, that's that. Now, let's see. We're going to go back and say the question, trivia question, to give you a chance to answer is, how old was Isaac when Jacob and Esau were born? So if Isaac was 40 when he married Rebekah, okay, he's not going to be less than 40 when he has kids. Is that a nice way to say that?
That's pretty much. Context clues.
Yeah, that's, I mean, okay. All right. Genesis 25:26 is your target if you're looking it up in a book called the Bible. All right, that's that. Let's get somebody's calling in, so we got to give them a chance. Okay, so because we want to make sure you give them a chance, and then we're going to get into this teaching, which I already, it's so funny when I tell you what happened, but we'll do it later. They're ready, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary, except for all the stuff we're hearing. It's like, you know, it's heartbreaking to hear the different struggles that people are having. You just want everybody to be well. We want you to be well. We want Nola to be well. And we feel grief for the people that have passed and have suffered loss. So that part's tough, but still faithful. Still, the Lord is still faithful, still on the throne, and forward we move. Right?
Oh, just keep praying.
Exactly. You never stop praying. Never, never stop praying. All right, my friend, how old was Isaac when Jacob and Esau were born?
I believe he was 60 years old.
That is correct, Amundo! You are 100% right. And what people don't know is that they were trying, and quite frankly, Rebecca was mad. And they're all like, everybody's mad about things that are not happening, you know, about pregnancies and so on and so forth. It's like, look, I'm not God. God has to do this stuff. It was 20 years later that they had their first child. That's a long time to wait.
Yeah.
That's a long span right there. Well, we're praying for everybody. So you might as well let me pray for you, because everybody's faith is high and we're ready to ask the Lord to pour out a major victory. And we're asking for major victory for you. So let me pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we lift up Gary to you. He's another one the brother who we want you to touch physically in the name of Jesus. What we want to see is the power from heaven released in his life. And we want him to see healing. We want him to know the healing power. And we want him to experience that and then testify to that, to encourage and strengthen not just the brethren, but to bring glory to your name. Touch our brother, because you love him. We love him. We're just asking you, say yes. And touch and heal him and strengthen him and revive him and let him testify to your glory. We are asking for healing for Gary in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you, and I'll keep praying for all of you, and God bless you.
All right, thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen. All right, we are going to go back into our text because we are teaching. I mean, we're doing all of it. Best we can. Here we go. Okay. So I was talking to you a little bit about the cause of prayerlessness. I do want you to first understand something, and I'll give you the major point towards the end of this. Very simple. You are not the only person that has struggled with prayerlessness. Even at times, the closest people to Jesus have struggled with the cause of prayerlessness. And then Jesus tells us the answer, and here it is. Matthew 26, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but
but the flesh is weak. Ding, ding, ding. You know what causes prayerlessness? Sure, Satan distracts us. Sure, the world throws a bunch of stuff at us. But one of the biggest problems of prayerlessness is our flesh, also known as the carnal man. It's through our flesh that Satan tempts us into prayerlessness, either getting us delayed in prayer, shortening our prayer time, bringing distractions through, wandering thoughts, hopelessness, unbelief, whatever the case may be. Our flesh gives room to that. And when Jesus is saying the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, it's the flesh is weak in regards or in response to God. The flesh doesn't do a good job. And people are like, well, that's the physical flesh. And it's also the old man flesh, which is the whole born again thing. Once you're born again, you have a new man inside of you, but your old man, who's been judicially executed, has not been manifestly executed. And the thing that causes prayerlessness more than any other thing, any other time, is inside of you. You want to know what causes prayerlessness? Oh, this is terrible. I don't mean to upset anybody. It's you. It's like, wait, what? Well, it's you. It's me. It's each one of us. We cause the prayerlessness. And you think, well, what do you mean? What do you mean I cause prayerlessness? It's because those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know how we talk about pleasing God, and we always use Hebrews 13:6, about being people who we have faith, with faith that pleases God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. Well, that's the Hebrews passage. Here's a Romans passage, Romans 8:8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Well, he wasn't talking to Christians. It's Romans 8. The entire chapter is to Christians. The entire book is to Christians, let alone Romans 8, which gets really specific. When we are in the flesh, you can't get there. And you're like, wait a minute. Well, how do I know if I'm in the flesh or not? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but let's just stay here for a second. There is a war that is taking place inside of you. It is a constant struggle. It is one part of you against another part of you. Allow me the privilege to read you this passage in case you're unsure. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do whatever it is you want. Wait, what? Say that again, Dave. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. What do you mean I don't do whatever I want? Because the part of you that wants to do it is the spirit part, but the part of you that doesn't want to do it is the flesh part. And there's a war between the spirit and the flesh inside of you. And when we're in the flesh, we can't please God. Why? The flesh is weak. It can't handle the things of God. In fact, as we know from Genesis, the flesh makes us run away from God and hide. Uh-oh. Dave, you're not supposed to teach that kind of stuff right now.
Sorry.
Wow. Sorry. Got to teach the full counsel. And the full counsel is the biggest problem for prayerlessness, the biggest cause, is inside you. It's the part of you that wants to run. God still has a better pair of sneakers, but it's the part of you that wants to run. Okay?
Hey, why didn't we give the warning sample for that one?
Wow. All right. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. Let me give you, I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel. To who? To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people. Very few and strangers in it. And they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. In context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, wait, are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Yes, we're going to do one more trivia question. You got to be fast because I got a lot of stuff still to cover. What affliction did Isaac suffer from in his old age? Created a little bit of a problem under the blessing process. What affliction did Isaac have? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send a message through email david@hemustincrease.org. I do believe somebody is calling in. They are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I'm picking up a little bit from where we were earlier in the show. But I'm still heavy in heart for all of our people.
I understand that.
Yeah, that's a truthfulness. All right. Simple question. I think you're going to get it right on. I'm feeling pretty confident. If I had the capacity to place a wager, I would. But I don't, so it doesn't matter. What affliction did Isaac suffer from in his old age?
Oh, I think you didn't see so good.
That is correct, Amigo! It was like not just poor eyes, it was like blindness to a degree. He couldn't see. I mean, he could only function by smell. It was like, it was pretty bad. So that is exactly right. And
smell, touch, and sound.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing is I think Christians go through some of that where they don't see quite so well. You know, it's like, no, you need the Lord to help you see what's going on or you could get tricked, right? I mean, that's kind of a good spiritual underneath there. How you been, by the way, in general? You doing well?
Still recovering, almost back to normal.
Let me pray over you. Is that all right?
Oh, and it's too hot.
Oh, okay. I can't do anything about that one. I can pray over you on the other one, but the weather, a little bit out of my realm for today. let me pray over you. Father, we lift up our brother to you, ask you to bless Will. Just, Lord, just let him get all the way back and more. That's not even enough just to come all the way back. Let him exceed all the way back to even a greater place and let him have tons of energy, great vitality. Let him just be refreshed in his body, in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit. Pour your grace into his heart and mind. Lift him up. And put a song in his mouth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'll tell you, there's always a song in my mouth.
Amen, brother. God bless you. That is a great statement. That is a great, great statement. You are a blessing. I appreciate you.
You are too. Have a blessed day, sir.
Okay. God bless you. All right. Excellent call by Will Rogers. All right, so just to, now look, I'm going to have to kind of not redo, but I already told D, now that right before this show started, what did I say to you about this message?
We got two parts, don't we, Dave?
Yeah. So it's amazing because I wasn't sure how that was going, but I can tell you now, this is a two-parter. So just everybody relax, okay? Second part's not tomorrow, but it is a two-parter. Let me finish this last little bit because I want you to understand something about the spirit and the flesh. I just want you to understand that conflict that you have is not an abnormal conflict. It is not one that you are given to lose. That's absolutely ridiculous since you owe sin. You owe your flesh nothing. And it's really important for you and I to understand that you are not indebted in any way, shape, or form to your old self. In fact, Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's the big part about that. It does mean you need to be in Christ Jesus, which means you don't need to be in the old you. You need to be in the new you. That's why it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? If you're in Christ, you're the new creation. If you're out of Christ, not so much. Okay? So this is why there's so many admonitions. Don't turn back. Don't break. And people are like, well, does that mean I will be lost? You're not going to be lost. God doesn't save you to lose you. But if you're looking to destroy your effective Christian walk, walk in your old man. You'll do a fantastic job. And the reason that when you turn to the old man, everything's just as bad as it always was is because he's just as bad as it always was. That's why. And so what we need to understand is, and this is a great thing because your spirit is alive and born again, right? Now that's the spirit that's communing with the Father, communing with the Son, and communing with the Holy Spirit. And specifically connecting the Holy Spirit to your new spirit, pick this up. This is a great catch if you can catch it. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Holy Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Why? Because you can quickly go the wrong direction. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's a command. It's not an option. And so in our born-again spirit, we need to stay connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it talks about when it talks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And what we do is we do a lot of feeding of the flesh. One of my daily prayers that I apologize to God for is my insatiable ability to feed my flesh. Do you know when I feed the spirit part of me, he grows, or it grows, or I don't know, I guess it's a he grows. But when I feed the fleshly part of me,
it grows. I'll call it an it because I don't like it. So it's like the difference there is you're feeding one or the other on a pretty regular basis, depending on where you're at and what you're doing. Don't feed the old man. Don't feed the old man. Because that is causing prayerlessness. Get that? Just get that one line. You get another line. Don't feed your old self because that's causing prayerlessness. That's the cause. We'll do a part two, just not tomorrow, but soon enough, okay? All right, folks, you have been listening, and don't forget to be praying for everybody, to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.